If you have one of the church Bibles, we're reading from page 1557, and we're reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, about God establishing his church. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Well, good morning. My name is Luke, if we haven't met. Let's pray and we'll jump into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name this morning. As you open up your word, help us to put off the distractions of our week and help us to see what you would have us know from your word. Lord, convict us where we need convicting, encourage us where we need encouragement, and Lord, we pray that you would spur us on to live for your son Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, before I started working for church, I worked in the glamorous and highly sought-after industry of strategic transport planning. Now, basically, my job was look into the future and try work out where people and freight needed to go. You can see the look on your faces now. It was that interesting. I loved it, though. It was kind of like the computer game SimCity, if you've ever played that, just with much worse graphics. And I think for just about every job I applied for and every interview that I had, they asked the same one question, or the same one question came up in the interview. And that question was, how do you manage competing priorities? What would you do if you had two really important tasks that needed to be done? Now, the reality is that's something that we all work through each day, intentionally or sort of consciously or not, trying to work out how we balance important priorities. And that's what this passage is dealing with here this morning. It acknowledges the fact that as a church, we have a number of really important things that we need to do. But what is our priority? And how do we go about doing the good things and the best thing in the best possible way? As a church, we live with this tension every day. And as our church grows and changes, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to be flexible in how we go about what we do to make those things happen, to make those key things happen? Or do we have to do things in the same way that we've always done them? And so as we open up this part of God's word this morning, it makes us answer the question of are we willing to do whatever we need to do to see the message of Jesus be shared with the people of Townsville? And this is actually really important for all of us to think through, right? This isn't just a church leadership passage. This is something that applies to all of us because we all have a part to play because we all want to see the gospel preach. We all want to see people encounter the living God through his word and ultimately come to know the Lord Jesus. So how do we do this together? Let's have a look at the passage. Well, the first thing that we see is that growth brings challenges and changes. From verse 1, it's up on the screen. It says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." Now here we get a little bit of an update from Luke, who's the guy who wrote Acts, on how the early church is going. We see here that despite the fact this church had experienced persecution, they continued to share the gospel. And we see here the church was growing. The number of disciples was increasing. People were becoming followers of Jesus. This is great, right? Praise God, he is growing his church. But with this growth, they face challenges and changes. Division is threatening this church because we see that one part of the church felt like they're needy and they're vulnerable. They're widows weren't being taken care of. Now, both groups are followers of Jesus, but they come from different cultural backgrounds. That's probably what we need to know. So the scenario this church is facing is that they've grown, and there are people from different cultures and backgrounds in the church. But the problem is they developed a little bit of a blind spot to this, and it meant they weren't caring for their needy. God cares for the weak and the vulnerable, and we're called to reflect his character. So this kind of care matters. This is a genuine concern that they're not doing this stuff well. And when it is done well, it's a beautiful picture of the gospel lived out. But I don't think here there's anything malicious or deliberate going on. I think this church is just experiencing growing pains. The gospel is breaking cultural barriers, and so new people are coming into the church, and this means that they can't do things in the same way that they've always done them. The church is experiencing growing pains and the challenges and the changes that come along with that. This week, my eldest started year one, hashtag we represent, Chappy Tim. And my middle child, Henry, he started kindy. So I'm feeling the pain right now and how much that costs. Books, uniforms, shoes. I see a lot of parents here, so I know I'm with my people. Shoes in particular hurt, I think, because I'm still trying to grapple with the fact that shoes for a six-year-old almost cost the same as shoes for me. And I remember as a kid, I got sent to school with Dunlop Volleys, and my kids had the latest in gel support technology. Now, this hurts even more knowing that they're going to outgrow them in about 3 minutes. But as they grow, they're going to move on to the next pair. Growth means new shoes, and it means change. And that's what this passage is getting at. As the church grows, as we grow here at Willows, we're going to experience challenges and changes. And so this passage is actually forcing us to think through a couple of really important things. Firstly, are we flexible in how we go about our mission in sharing Jesus or of sharing Jesus? Are we prepared to make changes in how we do church and how we go about things here? Or do we have to do things in the same way they've always been done? Once upon a time, and not all that long ago, really. Some of you remember this. Once upon a time, the minister would do everything from lead the service, to pray, read the Bible, to preach. He'd do a lot of the admin, even lead a whole bunch of the Bible studies during the week. But as we've grown, things now look different. We need to be flexible in our form, in the way we do things, because a time will come, and it has come, where the shoe doesn't fit. As a church, we've gone through many pairs over the last number of years. As our church grows and changes, we need to be continually thinking through how we're doing what we're doing, what we're prioritizing, and what we're using our resources on. Thinking through how do we say yes to the good things and the best things in the best possible way. Now, this means that we may not be able to do things in the same way we did when we were a certain size, or we may struggle to do that now. So like the church in Acts, we need to keep an eye on our blind spots. And pastoral care is a good example of that. It's a live challenge for us as a church right now. A church this size makes it really hard to care for everybody. So we need to keep thinking through how we do this well, how our Bible studies fit into this, how our women's pastoral care team works in this space, and how we can do that amongst each other here at 1030 Church. We need to be thinking through how we do and how we resource that ministry. One way we've done this, and we think it's a helpful step forward, is to move to having ministers of the four congregations, Simon at 8:30, Chris here at 10:30, Jason at 4:15, and myself at 6. And so the shift there is that we have our church centered around four individual congregations as opposed to one big church. And so our pastoral care happens at those particular services. We think that's a step in the right direction. But with any growth and change, there's going to be mixed emotions. There can be grief in change because things may look and feel a little bit different to how we're used to and how we like them. In years gone by, we may have known everyone in the church here and been able to pray for them by name. And at one level, there is a sadness that we can't do that anymore. But praise God that he's grown the church. That's pretty special, right? Growth brings challenges and changes. So what things are we prepared to be flexible about, and what things are we prepared to make changes for? Well, that's the next thing this passage helps us to think through. And we see that we must be prepared to do whatever we need to do to share the message of Jesus from verse 2. It's up on the screen. It says, "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God, in order to wait tables.'" So the apostles have been given the specific task of teaching and preaching the message of Jesus, right? They're Bible teachers. That is their job in the church, right? And they don't want to drop the ball on this. But there's no sense here in what they're saying that waiting tables or care ministry or really anything else is a second-class ministry. Both flow from the gospel. Both are a beautiful picture of the gospel lived out. But it is saying, and the point is, that it's not right for Bible teachers to stop doing their job and to do something else. It wouldn't be right for them to neglect their job in helping people by God's Spirit come to know the Lord Jesus and grow in their relationship with Him. And so there's a tension at play here, because caring for the vulnerable and a whole bunch of other stuff we do as a church really matters. So they find a way forward in verse 3. It says, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." The apostles are wrestling with the question of how do we say yes to the good things in the best possible way. They acknowledge that things can't be the same as they always were, and they acknowledge that they can't be in two places at once. So they propose that the church pick a bunch of guys that would be suitable to fill this role. And this outcome means that the word is preached and the other priorities of the church can happen. Verse 3 says these men should be godly, well spoken of, and live lives that have clearly been changed and transformed by Jesus. That's what being full of the Spirit means. And they should have wisdom for dealing with the complex nature of what care ministries brings and what that is. And so as this new group cares for the vulnerable, the Bible teachers are freed up in their job of preaching, teaching, and prayer. We see the church agrees with this in verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip and 5 other guys. In verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, this is a really beautiful picture of church unity here. They are on mission together to share the message of Jesus in the best possible way they can. They're flexible in how they went about their business, as long as the Bible was being taught. They were prepared to do whatever it took in terms of shaping their church, as long as the gospel could keep going out. And we see God work through this. Verse 7. "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Even amidst the persecution and suffering and potential division of this church, the message of Jesus continues to spread, even in the hearts of the biggest enemies of the apostles. That's why it mentions that a large number of priests became followers of Jesus. These guys were enemies of Christians. They were arresting them. But here, they've heard the gospel, they've seen it lived out, and they've come to trust in the Lord Jesus. And this is a witness to the fact that the gospel has the power to change even the hardest of hearts. And so what this passage is helping us think through is how do we do 2 important jobs at the same time? It's kind of like after dinner, when the kids have got to go to bed, they've got to be put in headlocks to brush their teeth, the dishes have got to get put away, the dishwasher's got to be stacked, and I never do it right, but anyway, that's another conversation. The table's got to be cleared, the rice has got to be swept up under the floor, and the dogs that have been barking outside for the last half an hour need to be fed. You've got a number of important jobs to do, but one person can't do them all well. And that's a tension that we're continually wrestling with as a church. How do we ensure that we keep on mission in sharing the message of Jesus whilst managing the competing priorities that we have as a church? The reality is that there's so much stuff that goes on in making this church happen each week. And the passage has shown us here that it can't all be on the people who teach the Bible. So that means as a church, as a body, it requires something for all of us to do in response to this part of God's word. One of the things that I've been reminded of and really encouraged in since coming back to Townsville and back to Willows is seeing how many people are living this stuff out in so many different ways. If we think back over the last 2 months alone, and I'm going to miss stuff here, right? But in the last 2 months alone, we've had the Christmas hampers put together, which support people who are support their physical needs, their practical needs, who don't have as much as we do. We've had the kids' holiday program and the 1,000 jobs that go behind that in helping the 160-odd kids here who come each day hear about Jesus. The committee of management is working away in the background. They're the guys who keep the finances and the air cons working. Praise God for them. On Friday, we had a whole bunch of people here at church cutting down trees after the cyclone. On Saturday morning, we had people here just doing the regular clean of the church, so the toilets and everything else is neat for us on a Sunday. And we had the musos here practicing so that we can praise God in his word. So many people are doing so much, and praise God for that. Keep going. But it's also good for us to continually wrestle with how we're going about our mission, how we manage all the things that we need to get done. Now, employing Catalina in the office is an example of that. I don't know if I can say this out loud, but I think she was the person that I miss most over the last 4 years working in other churches. The other guys I can take or leave, but Catalina. Now, Catalina does this stuff week in, week out, right? She does so much stuff that is exactly what this passage is talking about, to ensure the gospel can be taught and preached, even from our youngest. Kids' Bible time, she plays a role in that through to here on our Sunday gatherings. All the admin, the organizational stuff, all the financial stuff that she does is a perfect example of this. Now, she's a little bit different to most of us, right? Because she's paid to do that. But that's what this passage is talking about. But it also requires response from each of us. And so it's worth asking ourselves, how can I be serving to support the work of the Bible teaching and preaching here at Willows? Well, I mentioned earlier that pastoral care is something that fits into that category. Pastoral care is a big role in what the minister does. It's an important part of what they do, but it doesn't all fall on them. So are you someone who could help care for the people in your congregation here at 10:30? It doesn't need to be complicated. It could just be flicking a text or touching base with someone to see how they're going. It could be catching up and having a meal or a coffee or reading the Bible or praying together. It can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. Just seeing how they're going, seeing how they're going as a follower of Jesus. This is good for us to do with existing members of our church, but certainly also the new people who come. We want to be a welcoming church. So what would it look like for you to be embrace new people into our church with open arms? Our church isn't small, so these are good things for us to be thinking through in how we love one another and the people who come to our church, to take the pressure off Chris and what he does so he can do his job in the body well. Another way to put this into practice is people giving lifts to other people to church. Now, historically, the reality is that job has fallen on the minister here at church. Could that be some way that you serve in freeing up them to do their job? Touching base with Chris and saying, hey, I'm prepared to give people a lift to church if they need it. Another way to put this into practice is our care ministry. Over the years, we've had a growing number of people who come into church here seeking financial assistance. And so on Monday, and kind of aside from this passage, actually, we were chatting through as a team, how do we love people well and meet their physical needs when they come in here? One of the ways we do that at the moment is we buy them Woolies food cards, and we'll buy their prescription medication if they need that, sometimes their fuel. But we're thinking in the future, how do we do this well? And one of the ways that we're thinking through is, can we have food boxes here at church, and when they come, we can provide them a week's worth of food for their families? Is that something that you could help out in? Go over to Woolies and buy some stuff so that we can have boxes of food to feed those families when they come. If that's something you could do, have a chat to Chris after, or myself after the service, because that's a really important and valuable part of what we do here at church. And it models exactly what this passage is talking about. And there are plenty of other ways that we can live this stuff out. But this is one of those parts of God's word that actually requires us to do something. So what would it look like for you? That's worth thinking about and praying about. We want to be a church that will do whatever we need to do to share the message of Jesus. We want to be flexible in how we do church, but inflexible on the gospel. We don't want to be stuck in a particular way of doing things. We want to be continually wrestling with how we use our time and our resources. And as our church grows, there are going to be changes and there are challenges. So as a church, let's pray that we would be committed to doing whatever we need to do so that people would hear the good news of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have such a good message in your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. Father, help us to be a church that are prepared to do the uncomfortable thing, to do the changing thing, to do whatever we need to do so that people in our community would come to know the hope of Jesus. Father, help us to have eyes outside ourselves and look at our blind spots. And give us hearts to serve, Lord. Give us hearts for the message of Jesus to go out into our community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.